program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times, Henderson News, Capster.com, and Dogster.com. On today's program, we'll start with an article by Kate Lindsay from the New York Times titled, Wellness Culture Has Come for the Pets. With collagen peptides, raw meat diets, and longevity supplements, some owners are going full goop. Dr. Jennifer Glenn has noticed a shift recently in some of the pet owners who visit her Brooklyn veterinary clinic. For one thing, they've been going against her guidance. One person, for example, attempted to treat a dog's ear and skin infections with apple cider vinegar. Another opted for essential oils over standard flea and tick medications. There are others who, when she brings up vaccines, say they need to do their own research. These owners, they only mean well, says Dr. Glenn, a veterinarian at Williamsburg Veterinary Clinic, but they don't know that they might actually be endangering their animal. The situation can look similar outside the clinic, too, as some people embrace an alternative approach to pet health. They are choosing supplements over medications, opting for raw meat mixtures over kibble, and expressing hesitation about vaccinating their pets. The demand has created a new market that combines high-end pet care and wellness, two industries that have grown rapidly in the last few years. Upstart brands are offering products that look like they belong in a Goop catalog. Ashwagandha for pet's anxiety, colloidal silver for wound care, and collagen peptides for joint pain. Buddy, a dog supplement brand, sells a meal topper that includes L-taurine and bamboo and reishi mushroom extracts, which the company claims promotes, quote, holistic canine health, wellness, and longevity, end quote. The industry is a natural extension of the broader, quote-unquote, goopification of American culture, says Andrea Hernandez, who writes the food newsletter Snackshot. Maddie Guy, one of Buddy's founders, said people are becoming more thoughtful about what they put in their own bodies and that it makes sense that that's also being reflected in the pet industry. Many of the products are marketed as, quote-unquote, vet-created and, quote-unquote, science-backed, but the proliferation has made some in the veterinary field nervous. Michael Sanfilippo, a spokesman for the American Veterinary Medical Association, suggested pet owners approach products that make broad or anecdotal claims about boosting health or vitality with caution, as they may not always be rigorously tested. Pet supplements are not directly regulated, he added, which can leave gaps with respect to ingredient accuracy, quality control, and the potential for interactions with other medications. Nevertheless, the companies selling these products have found an enthusiastic customer base who have some owners extolling the benefits of supplements for longevity, anal gland issues, and muscle health on social media. Taylor Cockrell, a 28-year-old content creator in Houston, is not particularly passionate about her own nutrition, she said, but she has experimented with giving her pets a variety of supplements. I've been down every rabbit hole there is to make sure my pets live as long as possible, Ms. Cockrell says. She ultimately settled on giving her four cats a milk thistle supplement designed to support liver and kidney function. Ms. Cockrell also has a dog, and she feeds all her pets a raw meat diet. Joyce Sue, a 31-year-old graphic designer in Brooklyn, feeds her two cats raw meat too. Pet owners can buy ready-made raw food meals online, but Miss Sue's routine is more elaborate. She hand grinds a combination of chicken, turkey, and beef, as well as rabbit, muskrat, and beaver meat, their favorite, she says. Then she tosses in supplements like taurine, vitamin E, and fish oil, and puts the mixture in individual mason jars. She estimated the process takes 8 hours and suggested people talk with their veterinarian before trying the diet. Veterinarians generally consider raw meat diets dangerous, as they can increase potential exposure to foodborne pathogens. Many Americans are now spending more on their pets than ever before, which is likely giving the pet wellness industry a boost. But But there are also signs that eroding trust in veterinarians is also playing a role. One survey published early this year indicated that a substantial minority of pet owners no longer trusted their veterinarian, mirroring growing distrust of doctors. Vaccine skepticism has become quite common among pet owners. In 2023, a survey of 2,200 U.S. dog owners showed that 52% of them were hesitant to give their dogs a vaccine, and 37% of respondents believe them to be unsafe. Many veterinarians are partly paid based on how much revenue they bring in, and some owners have become suspicious of upselling, with veterinary prices having jumped more than 60% over the last decade. One recent survey indicated that about half had opted against visiting the vet or accepting the recommended care, mostly because of cost concerns. For a while, Devin Joseph, a 32-year-old in Brooklyn who works in audio production and podcasting, gave Prozac to his German Shepherd mix Ollie to help with his anxiety. But renewing the prescription required a $75 visit to the vet every 2 months, which felt excessive, so he stopped. To people like Mr. Joseph, some wellness products, even if pricey, can still seem cheaper than traditional veterinary recommendations. He ultimately went with hemp treats. Some startups have incorporated this idea into their marketing strategies. Coyote, a supplement brand, claims that its collagen peptides can prevent the need for expensive medications or shots at the vet. In some cases, trying out a wellness product cannot feel like a worthy experiment for a pet owner. If nothing else, AJ Henning, a 43-year-old teacher in Santa Barbara, California, has started adding CBD oil to his 18-year-old cat's food in an attempt to treat her seizures. The guy at the pet store was like, "Hey, is this working?" Henning said, "I'm like, I don't know. We just put it on the food and hope." Next, we'll move on to an article from thehendersonnews.com, Seeing the Bright Side, Helping Pets Adjust to Vision Loss. Dogs and cats rely on their eyesight for everyday adventures, from chasing toys to navigating homes and greeting their favorite people. But when vision problems creep in, the signs can be subtle and owners may not know how to help. Texas A&M College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences ophthalmology resident Dr. Laura Donahue discusses the causes of blindness in pets, how to recognize early warning signs, and how to support pets' quality of life through the transition, sniffing out the culprit. Some pets are born blind while others lose vision later in life. Vision loss in pets can result from a wide range of issues, from surface-level damage to deeper retinal conditions. When I think about the causes of blindness, I consider anything that could prevent light from reaching the back of the eye, Donahue said. That's where the retina lives, and it's responsible for converting light into electrical signals that travel to the brain. Common causes of blindness, typically associated with aging, genetics, or how the body changes over time, include corneal disease, which occurs when scarring, pigments, or blood vessels cloud the cornea, cataracts, which occurs when the lens becomes cloudy, retinal disease from age-related degeneration or detachment of the retina, optic nerve damage that blocks signals to the brain, congenital issues such as underdeveloped or non-functional eyes at birth. If the cause of blindness is painful, sometimes the only treatment option is to surgically remove a pet's eye, Donahue said. It sounds traumatic, but removal of pain often enables the animal to return to a better quality of life than they had before. Telltale signs. Because dogs and cats rely heavily on smell and hearing, owners may not notice their pet's vision loss right away, especially if the loss happens gradually. Many pets compensate so well that blindness may only be discovered during a veterinary exam. If a dog or cat is born blind, you might actually never know, Donahue said. Dogs and cats adapt so well to their environment and find ways to get done what they need to get done, like having fun, eating, drinking, and walking around the house. Sudden blindness, however, is usually more noticeable. Pets may appear confused or hesitant as they lose their visual map of the world. Signs of acute vision loss, meaning really quick loss of vision, are things like not being able to navigate the house, getting lost outside, not being able to catch treats, being really hesitant, standing very close to the owner's leg during walks, and being overly cautious on stairs, Donahue said. A common early sign of retinal degeneration in dogs is being hesitant in dim or dark lighting. Recognizing these changes early can help owners seek veterinary care sooner, giving pets the best chance at treatment or supportive adjustments. positive adjustments. Although vision loss can be distressing, most pets adapt quickly with support from their owners, including simple changes in the home environment. You could get pieces of carpet, like carpet runners, and put them in places near stairs or different rooms to help give the pet tactile feedback, Donahue said. Or you could use subtle pet-safe scent cues in different rooms to give them a scent indication that they are in a new place. If owners notice any changes in breathing, etc., after incorporating a new scent, they should discontinue its use and seek veterinary guidance. Maintaining a consistent layout is also important. Don't move around your furniture much because your pet will make a mental map and be able to navigate through things very well once they get adjusted, Donahue said. If your pet has suffered vision loss, it is important to make noise when you approach them so they can hear you coming, especially if they are sleeping. With or without these adjustments, pets who have impaired vision can still enjoy their favorite activities, including playtime. Even if a pet goes blind, I would still keep up all their favorite activities and just adjust them, Donahue said, adding that with patience and routine, most pets adapt within a few months to resume normal activities. Vision loss may change how pets experience the world, but with a few thoughtful adjustments and plenty of support, blind dogs and cats can continue to live full, happy lives. Next, we'll move on to Catster.com, and we'll start with an article titled TNR Compassion in Cats, Trapkeen's Humane Cat Solution Story by Sterling, a.k.a. Trapkeen Davis. You may recognize Sterling Trapkeen Davis from the Drew Barrymore Show, the Disney Plus documentary Pets, directed by Bryce Dallas Howard, or Netflix's Cat People. Maybe you got to see him recently at CatCon, or just follows his adventures and efforts on social media. Or maybe you're learning about him for the first time today. With countless rescue efforts across the U.S. and abroad, and his incredibly contagious love for cats, Sterling is an inspiration to anyone who believes that compassion and collaboration can change the world. We're beyond honored to share this special feature with the founder of Trapkeen Humane Cat Solutions. Sterling has dedicated his life to community cat care and TNR, Trap, Neuter, Return, and his mission is bigger than saving cats. It's about having a positive impact on every living creature's path that he crosses and bringing diversity into animal rescue. We hope you enjoy Sterling's story and message as much as we do. Please follow him on social media to help spread his message and raise awareness to help more and more cats around the globe. Nicole from Catster. Trapkeen Humane Cat Solutions is a nonprofit organization about cat rescue with a heavy focus on TNR, Trap, Neuter, Return, and community care. We can consist of a small board of four people based in Atlanta, Georgia, but we have worked on TNR animal rescue in Greece, Spain, and just about every state in America. Trapkeen represents hashtag same team and hashtag one up, one united paw. TNR is a humane alternative to death euthanasia for straying feral cats. At Trapkeen Humane Solutions, we aim to get more men and people of color engaged in animal welfare. Trapkeen Humane, our history and tips for starting your own organization. I founded Trapkeen Humane back in 2017, so I've been here since the start. I tell people often to be strategic before starting a nonprofit, as it can be a lot of work and difficult to put the right board slash team together. It's more than just finding people who like cats the way you do. You have to know someone to do the accounting, someone who knows taxes, someone who can organize and plan the meetings, on top of sharing your vision in rescue. I also think it's good to find your niche and stick to that first instead of trying to do everything. If there are four TNR groups within a 50-mile radius of one another, then you shouldn't also start a TNR rescue. Maybe you can focus on adoptions or fostering. I'm learning quickly that sticking to what I'm most effective at and being willing to work with others is the best way to fight against burnout and compassion fatigue. It's been a journey, though, and I think I'm just now working with a team that actually fits. Challenges, accomplishments, and things that make me smile. Some of the biggest challenges Trapkeen faces, as well as other rescues, are resources. Funding for cat surgeries, food, and medicine is always needed. Cat traps, cleaning supplies, places for TNR cats to heal, as well as fosters for some of our kitties that are too sweet to go back into the streets. So donations are always welcome, and if you're looking to be a foster or adoptive parent, you can get in touch with our team. Some of our biggest accomplishments are fundraising and rescue events done in Chicago, Hollywood, Florida, and Atlanta. some of which led to documentaries. We were featured on Pets on Disney Plus and Cat People Netflix, and winning the ASPCA Cat Advocate of the Year Award. I was also very happy to be on the Drew Barrymore Show to discuss community cat care. The main thing we're proud of is spreading the word and message of cat rescue to different demographics. Recently, I traveled to Spain to help with dogs as well. Galgo dogs, sometimes referred to as Spanish greyhounds, are raced and tortured every year by the thousands. We went to Spain to rescue 32 of them and ended up with an additional 4 kitties that we couldn't leave behind. We plan to go back in 2026 to help more. I'll be speaking at the Ultimate Cat Conference in Tennessee and See Meow in Seattle to educate and assist in the TNR community cat care. Long term, we aim to make TNR more affordable, as funds in a lot of areas for cat rescue are drying up. One of the funniest or most unique things that I've noticed while doing cat rescue work is that so many people who love and rescue cats are introverts and or don't have any children. Well, not any two-legged children, that is. Anytime I'm out feeding pending rescue work with people, there's always a need to get back home and feed the cats. Rarely is it to get back home to feed or put the kids to bed. Not sure why that is, but I may do some research on that one day. The most rewarding thing with TrapKing is being the change and seeing the change. It feels good to see more men and more people of color get engaged in cat rescue / animal welfare. When I see that and I see people promoting hashtag same team and working together, it feels like I played a part in that. It's like the feeling you get when you bring a TNR cat back to their colony. Let them out of the trap and they run out quickly. They look back as if to say, thank you. How you can get involved. If you or someone you know would like to support, shop, or volunteer with us, please visit www.trapkinghumane.com or follow all of my cat, dad, and rescue shenanigans on Instagram at the original Trap King or Facebook. Next, we'll move on to Ask the Vet by Dr. Joe Malat. Why do cats open their mouth when they smell? Reason explained. Have you ever noticed your cat pull a face as if they've smelt the most disgusting thing ever? Eyes closed, mouth wide open, lip curled in, neck extended. It's an expression that certainly resembles repulsion. This is actually a natural reflex known as the Fleeman response, sometimes referred to the Fleeman grimace or reaction too. And interestingly, it has nothing to do with detecting a foul smell. Rather, it is a technique that cats and some other species have evolved in order to process certain pheromones. So what is it and why do cats do it? First, we need to understand the aforementioned pheromones. Cat communication and the role of pheromones. Pheromones are messenger molecules that cats use to communicate with each other. They are chemical substances that are secreted outside of the body in fluids like urine and sweat. Essentially, pheromones are a hidden form of communication. Certain species use them as signals from one individual to another. Examples of ways that cats use pheromones include rubbing their cheeks onto things, urinating on objects and surfaces to quote-unquote mark their territory, emptying the contents of their anal glands when they are stressed or fearful, or butting their head against someone which identifies him or her as safe. What is the Fleeman response in cats? The Fleeman response is a normal behavioral response that cats quote-unquote perform when they detect certain pheromones. In day-to-day life, cats are constantly responding to stimuli. These stimuli can be odors, pheromones, sounds, tastes, and more. By using the Fleeman response, cats are able to process smells and pheromones and then accessing the information it might be telling them. The point of the Fleeman response is to bring the air holding the scent or odor over something called the vomeronasal organ, also referred to as the Jacobson's organ. When cats perform the Fleeman response, two small ducts behind the incisor tip of the jaw open up. The opening of these ducts allows the scent or pheromone to travel to the vomeronasal organ. The organ has a small little bump on the roof of their mouth that processes pheromones and hormones, not just those of other cats, but also potential predator and prey species. It perceives the scent as something more than just a scent, but less than a vibration. From here, the signal travels to the smell center of the brain and then to the hypothalamus. This is a very important and busy part of the brain that can influence reproductive hormones and behavior. We've broken down the pathway in several steps, but in real time, the whole process occurs in seconds or less. Your cat can then decide what to do with the acquired information. They might run or they might do anything. They might urinate or sleep, or they might go looking for a potential mating partner. What does the Fleeman response look like? If you haven't caught your cat actually carrying out a Fleeman response, you're probably wondering why this curious and remarkable face pulling activity looks like. Your cat will assume a facial expression as if they have smelled something very unpleasant. They usually hold their mouths wide open and curl their upper lip. This exposes their upper front teeth, known as incisors. While they do all of this, cats are breathing in to transmit the scent of the vomeronasal organ in their mouth. In some instances, cats will stretch their neck out or hold their head at a funny angle to optimize the processing of the scents and odors. Your cat can only hold this pose for a minute or less before resuming their normal expression and activities. If the messages aren't super clear, they may perform the Fleming response a second or third time. What causes the Fleming response in cats? It would seem logical that the Fleming response is an involuntary or indistinctive action, but cats actually have to decide to do it. The Fleming response is a voluntary action taken by cats when they are exposed to an interesting odor or pheromone or another animal, typically another cat. The Fleming response is commonly used by male cats smelling female cat's urine to assess if she's ready to mate. However, it can be used by any cat when they come across a scent which they deem worthy of further investigation. Do I need to be worried about the Fleming response? No. The Fleming response is a perfectly normal cat behavior. Despite its strange appearance, there is nothing to worry about, and your cat is not in any discomfort or pain. Your cat will normally be perfectly calm. The Fleming response should be distinguished from cats that are breathing with their mouth open for a prolonged period of time. These cats will normally be in distress and have labored or rapid breathing. Open mouth breathing certainly is concerning and warrants a visit to the veterinarian. Conclusion. Many other animals exhibit the Fleming response, including horses, giraffes, lions, tigers, and more. Some people may have a vomeronasal organ, but they are not functional in people. In other words, they are a remnant of evolution that we do not use. Now we'll move on to Dogster.com and have an article in the dog health and care section. Is it too late to brush my dog's teeth? Vet Review Dental Facts by Nicole Cosgrove. Brushing a dog's teeth is essential for maintaining good dental hygiene. As a responsible dog owner, you should be regularly brushing your dog's teeth as part of their grooming routine. Although it is recommended that you start brushing your dog's teeth when they are still a puppy, it's never too late to start brushing a dog's teeth. There are numerous benefits to brushing your dog's teeth that shouldn't be overlooked. Plus, dogs of all ages can benefit from having their teeth brushed. When is it too late to start brushing your dog's teeth? You can start brushing your dog's teeth at any age, although it's best to start when they are a puppy. Even if you haven't been brushing your dog's teeth for years, you can start at any time. The main downside for brushing a dog's teeth when they are older is that they aren't used to it, so they probably aren't going to be very happy about it. The recommended age to start brushing your dog's teeth is between 4 and 6 months of age. This is around the same time all of their puppy teeth should have erupted and been replaced with adult teeth. However, you could begin brushing a puppy's teeth from the age of 6 weeks and up, although this is mainly to get them used to the sensation of teeth brushing. You ideally want to let them get accustomed to having their teeth brushed while they're still young and learning. Why should you brush your dog's teeth? Just like humans, dogs can get periodontal disease. An estimated 80% of dogs over the age of 3 already have dental disease that starts as gingivitis from buildup of plaque. Brushing your dog's teeth is a great way to remove plaque from your dog's teeth and help slow the development of periodontal disease. Periodontal disease doesn't only affect your dog's mouth, as kidney and liver problems have been associated with it too. Furthermore, teeth brushing could help reduce bad breath that comes with dental disease. What do you need to brush a dog's teeth? To brush your dog's teeth, you simply need a dog-friendly toothbrush and toothpaste. However, toothpaste is not always necessary, as a mechanical removal of plaque is good enough. There are various types of dog-friendly toothbrushes on the market, each with a different size, design, and bristles. It's best to choose a toothbrush that not only effectively removes plaque, but is also comfortable for your dog and easy for you to handle. You'll probably need to buy a larger toothbrush for an adult dog if they've been using a puppy-sized one. If you decide to use toothpaste, look for one recommended by the Veterinary Oral Health Council, VOHC. Toothpaste can help make teeth brushing more pleasant for your dog because of its enticing flavors. Some toothpaste may help your dog's breath smelling fresh and have ingredients that aid in more effective plaque removal or reduce buildup. FAQs. What are the benefits of brushing a dog's teeth? There are numerous benefits including associated with brushing a dog's teeth. They include helping to prevent oral pain, as dental disease can be quite painful. Plaque can contribute to bad breath in dogs, so brushing helps promote fresher breath. reducing the risk of gingivitis and periodontal disease, preventing existing dental disease from worsening, preventing plaque bacteria from entering your dog's bloodstream and possibly leading to organ damage, helps prevent tooth loss by keeping the dog's teeth healthy. Can I use my toothpaste to brush my dog's teeth? You should never use human toothpaste to brush your dog's teeth. Our toothpaste may contain harmful or potentially dangerous ingredients that they should not ingest. Xylitol is an example of a toxic ingredient commonly found in our toothpaste that is safe for us but not for dogs. Plus, our toothpaste might have fluoride levels that are not safe for dogs and may lead to toxicity. Only use toothpaste designed for your dogs and your dog's mouth. How do I know if my dog's teeth need to be brushed? All dogs can benefit from having their teeth brushed. It's better to start brushing their teeth to prevent dental issues rather than brushing them once you notice problems with your dog's oral health. If you're unsure whether your dog needs to have their teeth brushed, you should consult with a veterinarian. How often should I brush my dog's teeth? You should brush your dog's teeth at least once a day, but some experts recommend that you aim for twice a day. It's also a good idea to get your dog's teeth professionally cleaned if needed and to stay on top of your dog's dental health. Furthermore, VOHC-approved dental products in the form of water additives or treats can be used alongside brushing to keep your dog's teeth and gums healthy. What if my dog doesn't like getting their teeth brushed? Don't despair. If you've never brushed your dog's teeth before, their behavior is likely because they're a little anxious. You can train them to accept teeth brushing, however. If you think you might get bitten, it's not best not to do so. Start slowly with examining your dog's mouth. Lift up their lips and reward them if they cooperate. As they get used to this, introduce the toothbrushing for just a second and reward. Hopefully with time, they will allow a full mouth brush. On the other hand, if your dog has bad dental disease or has only recently started to hate getting their teeth brushed, they might be in pain. If this is the case, it's best to get advice from your veterinarian. Final thoughts. Although it's never too late to start brushing your dog's teeth, you want to start it sooner rather than later. It's usually easier for a puppy to adjust to having their teeth brushed since they are still learning. Keep in mind that brushing is used as preventative rather than a cure for existing dental issues. You should start brushing your dog's teeth when they are young, rather than waiting until their oral health starts declining. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.